He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen. And the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. Good Monday evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
Just making sure you're there. And together we are
East West Audio Body Shop.
Well, I got to tell you, we are on Monday night now, and it feels really weird. So, we want to see what you guys in the chat room think about being on Monday night. I know maybe it's your bowling night or mahjong night. We're not quite sure what goes on in your homes, but we're here now, and we're going to try and keep this show tight, so you have more time to sleep or do voiceover work or whatever it is you guys
do. More time to do auditions.
And that's true. And I want to thank everybody for that great trip out west. We just had a great time. And George and I were able to hang out together. And then, of course, thanks to Anguza for the great fun at the voiceover peeps at her house and all the great food from Jerry. Oh, that was good. George has we have a segment we want to play, but I have to tell this story because everyone will appreciate this. Thursday night, I had to go up to San Francisco to pick up my son Jake, so I was hanging out with none other than J.S. Gilbert, who gave me some cool stuff like the official J.S. Gilbert leash.
That is clever.
And the official J.S. Gilbert multi-tool and a number of other things. Yeah, but we went into this crappy little Vietnamese restaurant. And if anybody's been to South San Francisco, which is a beautiful town, this is an interesting part of town. Just not a place that a lot of people would go. Had the best shaky beef I've ever had. Of course, I've never had shaky beef, but I want to have it again. Too much garlic. But as we're walking out, Roxanne Coyne was with us, and Ann Richardson, and a few other folks. We're having a great time. We're walking out of the restaurant, and I swear to God, this guy comes up to me and says, "Do I know you from YouTube?" And I'm like, "Well, maybe." He says, no, wait. It was for that Harlan Hogan thing, that porta booth thing. I'm like, "Really? That was like 4 years ago." So JS, who's very prominent in the voiceover business, goes, "You play any video games?"
Armando.
"Oh man, you're on the game too! Wow, oh, I'm hitting the jackpot tonight!" And I'm thinking, 2,000 miles from home, and this guy picks me out of a little Vietnamese restaurant in South San Francisco.
That is awesome.
Only in voiceover.
Only in voiceover. Anyway, Skype is being the way that it is, and
absolutely true. I have witnesses.
We're getting some major freezing here and there, but we're just going to roll with it because we rely on Skype, and until someone comes up with a Source Connect version for a video, we're stuck with Skype for a while. So we're going to roll with it.
Yeah, it's buffering here.
Yeah, your picture and video or your video and audio are out of sync again. So, c'est la vie. But Ustream is be performing beautifully. In fact, I tested it for a full hour before the show, and it did not buffer one time. It never gave me any error messages or low this or low that. So hopefully you guys are seeing this 5x5.
We had some fun this week. You want to tell them about it?
Oh, with Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. We had a great time with Mark. Yeah, we went up to the studio. He took us out for a little sushi lunch. We had a little chat. And then we headed over to his place, and, why blab about it? Let's just show you what we did.
That's it. Yeah, here we are at Yamato, and one of the few places where they have a rolling sushi bar. And you can just pick things right off here. What's interesting is they used to be water, and there were boats. that can sail around, which is very, very cool. But, yeah, it's one of the few places in Los Angeles where they actually have this rotating bar, and you can just pick stuff off here, and they have little signs and stuff like that, and everything's made fresh, and it just rotates around. So it's pretty cool. Here's my octopus salad, or squid salad, and for those who are completely grossed out, it's actually it's very delicious.
All right, guys. Well, let's do this. Let's do a test recording here, and I'm just going to basically do what I normally do, and then see if I can do
run
it.
Run it by yourself.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Run it by myself. Thank you very much.
How long do you think it'll
take? Then we got to hit the road.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
All right, kids. Head before I hit the road.
Okay. So normally, what I always do is I'll just go into into Adobe Audition, and
should probably upgrade this to 6.6.
It's already up there. I go into, I get this set up, and I hit record, and then I just go into the booth and do it. No punch recording for me. All right, so here we go. So I'm going to hit record.
Make sure the level 5.6 is turned off. You don't want that mic picking up any ambient noise.
There we go.
Okay.
Good. That's good there. And then this is set to 3 o'clock there. One is gone. All right. I'm just going to put this baffle back, just
because Mike says it belongs there.
I think it actually does.
He said
it helps.
No reflection. I'm going to close this door. Any questions you may have, either with your supervisor, general manager, compliance officer, or any officer of this company.
We can do everything you want to do right now. The problem is it takes too many gesticulations. It takes too many, open this thing, click this button here, then go to the mixer, turn that knob over there. So my prognosis is to upgrade the mixer, which didn't seem at first necessary, but now that we understand better about your workflow, which is coaching, doing multiple different tasks, a better console, which may look on the surface more complicated, once it's configured correctly, you'll have to do less.
Okay.
You'll be able to set a bunch of knobs, leave them where they're at, and you won't have to do as many different little steps.
And rig a squawk box button for them,
The board I'm thinking of, it's a Mackie board. It actually even has a dedicated talk back button.
Oh, cool.
For doing talk back and stuff.
Hit the button and talk into sure. The booth.
But let's just show Mark real quick how the AudioFire window thingy works so that he can hear someone recording.
Oh, good.
So in the, let me switch places with you.
All right.
Tonight is what we wait for.
But hear that feedback loop?
Yes.
Okay. For us, which is why Miller Genuine Draft is cold filtered to capture fresh
draft taste. Turn that knob down right there.
Every time.
All the way down.
Keep talking.
Okay. Now the only question is where will you be tonight? Okay. Miller Genuine Draft, cold filtered, never pasteurized, capturing fresh draft taste every time. That's draft beer in a bottle.
Okay, so turn up 5.6.
So 5 and 6.
Okay, so 5 and 6. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
You can hear me really good?
I can hear you fine.
This is terrific. All right. Now this one that we had turned down,
the reason you have to turn that down is
the board only has one mix, we call it.
Okay.
That mix is your playback to your talent, but it's also the recording to the computer. If you leave that knob up while you're recording, it's a feedback loop.
Okay.
And that's what creates that hollow sound.
Got it.
When you're recording, you have to turn that down.
Okay.
So the knobs you turn down while recording are that one and the 5.6 knob.
Right. Because that's
because you don't want
right
that
here.
To get picked up either.
Exactly.
Okay. So your default when there's no students is leave 5.6 and the level knob at the last one with the tape on it there, whatever it is, 9.10. No, this one right here, the white one.
This one.
To leave those down.
Okay.
Right. Then when you come out here to edit.
Yes.
Well, actually, when you come out here to edit, you don't have to touch anything on the board. The volume control on the AudioFire over here, that's your speaker volume.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
So you see how it says headphones at the top of the screen? There's a tab that says headphones.
Yes.
That has to be on. And the first two mute buttons, which are, halfway, on the left,
all the way
it says analog 1, 2.
Other, over to the left.
Yeah.
Those two. Click on
when you click on it, that's going to mute the microphone in the booth and stop it from feeding into your speakers.
Okay.
Okay. So you're going to leave that muted all the time when there's no students.
And of course, you can hear me now. So the audio fire comes up when somebody is in the booth.
Right. Well,
you have to open it.
You have to bring it up.
Yes.
It's down on the dock.
Right.
It's that
exactly
mixing console button
okay.
on the dock.
I'm just going to minimize this for right now. Okay. Now, for playback, it used to be, I used to use this where it says playback here.
Right, no
more. I used
more.
To use that.
That's only
no
for,
more.
No. That's only necessary playback
is through
for
the echo.
Well, that's only necessary for someone that's going to be in the booth.
Got it.
Right. Otherwise, okay. that stays down all the time.
Okay. Now, this mic right here, 5.6, is my Rode.
Correct.
Am I correct? Right. right. So, technically, I don't need this on if I'm going to now play back what I just did over here.
Right.
It's been designed to help you recognize the most common red flags when working with exports and respond to them appropriately. These mics, these speakers are so good, I'm hearing the... I'm hearing the sound come right out of here.
That's right. That's what they do, and that's what KRKs do. That's what studio monitors do, is they give you back exactly what you recorded.
And good imaging, so it sounds like your face is in the middle of the screen.
It does. It really, really does. That's really an amazing audio illusion. That's fabulous. This is terrific.
Well, Mark, thanks for letting us help you with your studio and getting a tour, and thanks for the sushi.
Are you kidding me? You're thanking me? You came to my studio. I have two of the smartest engineers in the country coming to my studio and helping me tweak my studio, and you're thanking me?
This is fun for us. This is how we have a good time.
Yes. Well,
shh, don't tell anybody.
This is from now on, I'm joining you on your little sojourns because you are having too good a time.
Yeah.
We're back.
All right. Oh, man, that was so much fun.
It was.
But, you know, that's what you love to do more than anything else is you love to go into a studio. I mean, we just started ripping out cables and...
That's my favorite. I know it freaks people out a little bit, but they have some faith, I guess, at the end of the day. When I walk out, it all works. Sometimes I walk out and I'm driving and I get that, you know, 10, 15 minutes later, I get that dreaded phone call from whoever it was that I just left. And I'm like, oh, and like the second the phone rings, I'm like, my heart sinks. Oh, no. What did I leave? What did I forget to do? But no calls from Mark. So I guess we did okay.
Okay, good. What's he gonna say for crying out loud?
Come back.
Yeah, listen, don't let the cleaning lady touch it.
Yo, tell me if that's over there. Yeah, that is no joke. Between that and cats sitting on mixers, it can be a real problem. Yeah. No doubt.
We got lots more coming up. We got my tip of the week, and the legendary Mark Rao will be joining us in just a little bit. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East-West Audio Body Shop with George Winham on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
All right, pull your end a little bit tighter there.
All right.
That'll
all
work.
Right.
All right. Okay.
Pulling the string as tight as I can.
All right.
Can you imagine pulling a string 3,000 miles and making that work? Probably
no,
not possible.
I remember Hands Across America. I gave a yank in, you know, in Arizona, and somebody fell in Maine. It was anyway. So, anything fascinating happening with you in tech or anything like that?
Well, right now it's just a matter of making keeping everybody happy while I make a big transition, and I'll be announcing what that big transition is here shortly. But I'm juggling quite a transition of businesses from one to another, and so it's quite a handful right now to handle. But I've got some great people working with me, and again, you guys will all find out about it in a couple of weeks, I promise. But heading to New York tomorrow and visit a few clients, so I'm excited about that. I haven't had a business trip in at least 2 years now, I think, so it's going to be a good time.
Excellent. Yeah. Outstanding. Wish I could get into New York and join you, but we did have a good time last week.
We did.
And my mother says hello.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Anyway, time for our tip of the week, trying to keep things rolling along here. This starts arguments, but let's talk about Mac versus PC.
Maybe we'll finish it.
Maybe.
Mac versus PC. Every time you hear that, usually this is what happens. Why such contention? Because people believe what they want to believe. And until you try something new, you'll never know what's better, or at least different, about the other OS. Now, I don't make any bones about the fact that I prefer a Mac for doing voice work. It's easy to say a computer is a computer, but overwhelmingly for voice, people choose Apple. So let's go over the two for advantages and disadvantages. Okay, the pluses for PC versus a Mac. Most digital interfaces are compatible with Windows and Mac. Some are specifically designed for Mac. With PCs, you have more program choices, more hardware choices. With Macs, fewer choices, but we'll get into that. Also, PCs are less expensive. But there's a reason the PC environment is cheaper. It's fairly disposable. The pluses for Mac versus a PC. Consistent product. You know what you're getting with a Mac. There's options, but they clearly delineate the value of the option to your situation. With PCs, too many choices and options. Simplicity of OS. Both PCs and Macs crash, but I have found the Mac OS far more stable. Simple menus, icons, and file settings. Searching for a file is easy. It's intuitive. It really does learn your preferences and make workflow much more efficient. Viruses. This is a big one. While Macs can get infected and hacked like any computer, far fewer viruses seem to be written to attack Macs. Almost every PC sold today already has a ton of spyware and malware before you even turn it on. But the bottom line for us is, how does it help us with recording audio? Configuration. Mac. You plug it in and it works. PCs require more steps and details to set recording peripherals and software. And I'm sorry, Macs are just quieter. Now, does a Mac sound better? Probably not. Audio is audio. It's how you get to getting your recordings ready to be final product that matters most. So, efficiency matters. Superior software. Now, you can argue all day about the best software, but I've used both Mac-based and PC programs, and Macs are just more efficient. Longevity. My original MacBook that I bought in 2005 is still fully operational, as is my 5-year-old iMac. So, the choice is yours. I think when it really comes down to it, the advantages of a Mac just outweigh it. Yeah, it's a little bit more expensive, but it's worth it down the line. And that's my tip of the week.
All right, I got my flame retardant suit on underneath my shirt, yeah, really, just in case. You got to be ready for the flamethrowers after that kind of segment.
Radiation glasses here. And, okay.
Well, in the chat room, we got a few. I was like checking to see what people had, you know, what their thoughts were on this. And, you know, there's actually a couple of Linux users out there, or Linux for those who don't know what Linux is. Right. More power to you guys. That's all I got to say.
any? Do you guys have any questions about that? Or, you
know, yeah, I mean, somebody mentioned about which is the best software. I mean, we've talked about it before, as you guys know. But Dan and I both are loving Twisted Wave these days. You're also using Adobe Audition.
I am, which I also love. I do most of my work in Adobe Audition. Okay. Long format stuff gets done in Twisted Wave.
But oh, okay. You just like the really stripped Mac, down, very fast way of editing in Twisted Wave when you're doing long form.
That's right.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a lot easier, and it just seems to work better. I plug it in, it works. I've never really had any maintenance issues with it.
Yeah,
because I take care of it. People also need to learn computer maintenance, but that's another tip of the week.
Yeah, whether you're running Mac or PC, Windows, whatever, you still have to do maintenance on your computer. You still have to run security updates. You still have to, yeah, you know, do your due diligence. With the Mac, arguably, there's less to worry about. There's really no real major exploits yet. No major attacks, no worms and Trojans and things like that really attack Windows heavily. So right. That is one big reason why I like it.
Right. And here's one thing that'll help no matter what computer you're using. Empty your trash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Another tip on Mac is, and I don't know if this is true for PC or not, but on Mac, you really do need to keep at least 10% of the main hard drive empty. Like, so that's another good reason to throw out your trash. If you know, and they tend to hide how much space is on the drive. So I like to have my hard drive on the dashboard, or not on the dashboard, but on the desktop. And I like to set it so I can see how much free space there actually is on the drive. Because it's nice to kind of an idea where you're at. Mac, I love Mac, but they do tend to kind of hide things because they don't want you to get a little overwhelmed with too much information. But you can always turn those things on if you want to see them.
Yep. All right. Well, let's move right along here. Mark Rao, the legendary Mark Rao, will be joining us in just a minute. And we've got a few more things coming up on a Monday night eWabs. That's where we're going to be from now on. So come here on Monday nights.
Please,
we'll be right back. Absolutely.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
Danny did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
And now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
All righty, we're back here in East West Audio Body Shop, and we'd like to welcome a special guest, a guy we've been wanting to have on for a long time and has finally decided to join us, the legendary Mark Rao from the legendary Mark Rao Studios. Good evening, Mark. How are you?
Good evening. You guys have no taste. You finally had me on.
It's great.
It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to be launching the Monday nights, man. Absolutely.
Right. Now, you're a voice talent originally. Now, how did you get started in voiceover? And then we'll talk about this big transition you made.
Well, my background was in radio. I worked all those major markets like Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, you know, making no money whatsoever. My first gig, actually, I kind of BS'd my way into working at a large studio called Cherokee, which was a huge music studio back in the late 70s, 80s. It was the haven for the Cars, Motley Crue, Van Halen, all that kind of stuff. And I ended up in charge of Studio 5 there, which was their media studio. And we had a very famous old VO talent named Chuck Riley came in, and it was for Van Halen's first album. And it, they came in with the entire entourage, the girls with the ripped clothes, and they had, you know, their own engineer, their own, I just was kind of sitting there really not doing much of anything. And in essence, what happened was in the middle of the session, the guy was trying to patch an effect, and I go, you know, if you tried this, and he turned around in front of this room full of people and went, you know, I really appreciate it if you shut your mean mouth and stay like this. It was like,
been there.
It was like, oh my God, I just ruined my first big gig. And they did the spot. And it was okay, but it's Van Halen, so it should have had a little more edge to it. At least that was my feeling. So when I sent the tracks over to Warner Brothers, I actually went in and voiced and produced my own spot and kind of stuck it on the end of this, which probably wasn't kosher. And they called up and said, what is this? And I was like, I apologized and went, no, no, we loved it. And I had Warner Brothers for about 19 years up until AOL bought them. And that was kind of the first set into that. And then I got very involved with Don Pitts, who was the quintessential Hollywood agent back in the old days as far as voiceover, and started doing demos for his clients, and it just kind of mushroomed. And that was kind of the actual tech part. And the voiceover part kind of blossomed out of that. It started out in a very small head. And it was in a guest house behind a Yugoslavian landlord who would come out and go, Mark, I don't care what your cat shed my yard. You know, I live here now 6 years. I sue you. Get out. You know, so things progressed and got a little building in Hollywood about, oh goodness, I think it was maybe 600 square feet. Doubled in size there, tripled in size. And then it started getting a little scary with, oh, that's not a woman. Could you please put that back up under your dress? It's kind of a rough area.
Yeah.
So moved out to Burbank, been here now almost 31 years, strangely enough. And we've, you know, kind of got larger and larger here. We're now 15,000 square feet with five studios and an ADR stage. So it's become a gigantic money pit. It's wonderful.
It sure sounds
like. Someday you'll be profitable. Are you ever going to hit black?
Yeah, someday. We keep hoping. I'm thinking maybe next March.
Right.
Really? So what kind of work goes on in there? I mean, we see the stuff online that you're with everybody. I mean, everybody. I mean, they just walk into your studio because they want to meet you or because...
We haven't found out the truth yet. Well, actually, we do. We've been very fortunate. We do everything from DVD commentaries where you'll have Jack Nicholson come in, that kind of thing. We do an awful lot of video games. We do a lot of cartoon stuff. We're currently doing the ADR for The Good Wife, for Modern Family, and for Crossing Lines, a new NBC series. We've been very fortunate in that respect. And I've got a really, really great crew here. I mean, honestly, really all due respect to them. They are phenomenal. And they're much younger than I am, so they actually know what's going on in the world. I've just been very fortunate. We do a lot of reality shows. I just started season 5 of Alaska State Troopers, narrating that, which is basically
great show.
Cops
great
that are
show.
Cool. Yes, with strange Eskimo pronunciations, but it's fun. Yes. So, yeah, that's kind of the history. And we do a lot of commercial work as well for, goodness, you know, Jiffy Lube and Geico and Little Caesars and all that kind of stuff. So it really, pretty much anything that requires voiceover, we do. We also have a 5.1 surround mix stage as well, so we can do that. But again, it's the demo stuff. And, you know, I started doing a class here, not from the standpoint of, I think that you need to internalize because I'm not feeling the sparkles. It's much more business related, like, what do you do? You're in the business, now what? And because we have a perspective not only as far as a performer, but also on the other side as far as what's happening with the client when he goes, you know, he's not really, that has nothing, no reflection to your talent. He's saying, I didn't want cheese on my hamburger, but you're going, oh my God, my career just went south.
Yes. Now, my dog's not barking at you. She's barking at, you know, the garage door on the other side of the street. But
I get that a lot.
Shut up! Anyway.
I get that even more. Shut up.
So, now I've totally lost my train of thought here.
Actually, anyway, we had some questions pop up in the chat room, too. Yeah. We can jump to that in a little bit.
Sure.
Yes. Okay. But anyway, we were talking about demos. That's where I was going. Mm-hmm. Now, you're working with people. What goes into your process to making a demo? And when do you think someone is ready to do it?
Well, the thought process in producing a demo, it's very strange. It's kind of interesting that you would bring that up. It's a very different process when you do this a lot, meaning that even when someone's actually recording the script, I'm actually flying notes out to the engineer going, no, we need to break here. We need, because we know if the person says this, the inflection needs to be down because something's going to happen. If you don't have that, it ends up kind of flat. And sometimes you'll hear bytes that are put in that don't make sense, you know, that kind of thing. And again, it's designing something specifically for that voice. If you have a younger, hipper voice, then obviously you're going to be selling a Toyota Prius, not a Mercedes-Benz. You know, so it's kind of making the copy fit. And really making these sound real. I mean, thankfully, we do so much work. We've got M&E's, music and effects from everything. That's my candy store. We have probably about 1.5 million sound effects and approaching 1 million pieces of music. So it's like if you want the London Philharmonic playing kazoos, we have it. You know, so it's kind of fun. Yeah.
When someone's doing a demo, and I always question this one, is it, I mean, it has to sound like it's a real production. Mm-hmm. But shouldn't it, like, really highlight the voice as much?
Absolutely. We're not talking about affecting the voice. You're not talking about echo and EQs and all of that kind of thing or you know, using a harmonizer to all of a sudden make them, you know, that kind of a thing. But it enhances what's going on. And sometimes, really, to me, it's like if you take a singer who's not particularly talented, I won't mention any names, Britney Spears, thank God for auto-tune. With someone like that, if it's produced well, you find yourself doing this. And you'll hear a lot of comments about it needs to be signature sound, it needs to do this, if it doesn't grab their attention, etc. If it doesn't really matter what it is, it's even with a movie, if it's produced well, it grabs your attention. And that's the key. You hit play and go, oh, Bob, come in my office. My God, listen to this. Rather than, did you get my demo? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and you can hear the crickets in the background.
Really?
Actually, can I interject a question about demos again?
Sure.
You were
sure.
Saying that it's about, Mark, you're saying it's about, you do want to highlight the voice, but in the end of the day, should the demo still really fool the listener into thinking that must have been a real spot?
Well, I think in all honesty, to me, yes, just simply from a standpoint that it's like hedging a little bit on a resume. You can say, well, yes, I was the lead in 42nd Street in junior high production back when I was in seventh grade.
Parenthesis. You know.
But if you have the chops, you want it to present. The thing is now that so many people have home studios and do things at home, you can pretty much spot crappy library music immediately. And agents can as well. And they'll go, okay, you can tell that was done at home, that was done at home. It doesn't lend a real quality.
I mean, you've heard thousands of demos. That. You pick those out in a heartbeat.
Yeah, exactly. And you can tell very, very quickly. So this way, it gives that opportunity to at least be heard. And honestly, what people miss sometimes is a demo is a one-off. You want to create enough excitement that first listen, they go, wow, let's call this person. And that's, you know, the problem is that as performers, we'll do a demo and go, God, I don't like how I slated my name. I just, you know, did you hear how I said and you'll just scrutinize the crap out of it and listen to it 900 times, you know, and nobody else is listening in that context.
Right. Do you find that some of the big time professional actors who are coming in there, are they saying, you know, I really need to have a voiceover demo so I can, you know, toss this out and so people think, well, this guy can do this.
Especially for large campaigns. Now, in that case, the demo would be set up entirely different. And we'd also include, you know, a public service announcement where this is, you know, so-and-so for, you know, the United Way, you know, because you have that name recognition. But when they're at that level, sure, you're talking, you know, the Mercedes campaigns, you know, that sort of big national
like a custom demo? Like a custom demo almost?
Yeah, it's just set up a little bit differently.
Yeah, okay.
Is all. And it's really fitting what you do. It's like movie trailers. You know, you don't have to do the In a World. I mean, that's wonderful, but realize that you've got a ton of guys out there, Reno Romano and George DeJoyo, and a lot of guys that do that upper register stuff, Joe Cipriano, and Joe's making a fortune, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's it's tailoring it to what you do and making it jump off the page. So if they're listening to 20 different demos, it's like, whoa, put that in the keeper pile, you know?
Absolutely. So what do you use as an audio chain there? Now, we talk mostly about small home studios here.
Right.
What
blow us
processing
away.
What do you have in there that makes it why do you use it? Just abbreviate it a little bit. Give us the Reader's Digest version.
These stands that have carpet on them so you can talk on them and stuff.
All
so
right.
You know, reflect the sound. We got these black things too. I don't know what the hell that is. It depends really on what's happening. If we're doing ADR, we will use a 416, which is what this is at Sennheiser. We'll back it far off so that it's because obviously if you're on a movie set, they're not talking like this. It's way off. And then we also will mic a separate track with a lavalier. So it will match production audio. The chain we're using Focusrite Red mic pre's, which are horrendously expensive, but they really, really sound. We did ABs across the board, and it's like, wow, it's amazing. Of all things, believe it or not, what we are using for compressors are the old Aphex 651s. The reason is they're very, very quick. Digital stuff is wonderful, but it's not that fast. I mean, you can set it to infinity. It's wonderful processing after the fact. But if we're doing a Timon and Pumbaa and it's all about Timon, you want that thing to grab right there and not go. So we've got 10 of those in each room so we can do separate, put each person on a separate compressor. Or limiting.
It's so funny. You think that technology, the advancements, digital, blah, blah, blah. And here you are. You're saying, I'm using older analog gear because it does a better job. What do you know?
In that case, for that, but now we also have the full, Platinum Waves bundle, which, sure. Does everything and we can process after the fact.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time with a studio this size and when you've got multiple rooms running and especially the celeb clientele, you need to make it's not one of those things where you want to tell William Shatner, that overmodulated, could you do it again? It's like you want
especially
you
William
got
Shatner.
To take, smile and go, hell yes, let's move on.
Yeah, you want to have that safety net and you want to have absolutely. A little bit of limiter.
And,
in there.
And we also, a huge collection of mics. We have a mic locker here that's got all the Neumann 87s, 193s, 170s, 103s, all that kind of stuff. We've got some ATs. And the Sennheiser, we've even got 421s that we've used occasionally on stuff as well. So it's kind of across the board.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we have a lot of people.
That's
like
it. Don't ask me anything else technically. That's all I know. That was it.
Okay. All right. Well, that gives me a good opportunity to make this transition here. Nice segue there, by the way. Most of our audience, I think all of our audience, has a home voiceover studio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's been a huge transition in the business to where a lot of work can be done from a good home studio, which is what we try to teach people here.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I know. But how does that affect the big studios? And how do you see the future of the little studios compared to the big studios?
Well, I think that the internet has changed everything proportionately. Paid inclusion sites has kind of thrown that into the mix. So you have a lot of people who aren't necessarily voiceover talent. You have a lot of that. Well, you probably heard me on that on hold message in Pocatello, Idaho. And it's like, that's great. I mean, that, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a little bit different run here. It gets very hectic. Home studios, honestly, some are very good. What we always tell people to do is send us files and we'll check them. I've had people who are pretty established VO people record stuff at home and you get the file and it's... and it's like, you see, red would be bad. That's not a good thing in this case. So either that or very, very low. So again, you want the, infamous CD red book level. So everything is just kind of nice. And sitting there, it's interesting in that because of what we do here, it's a little bit different. So we have a lot of large ad agencies, again, doing the ADR kind of stuff and all of those kind of people. And same thing with cartoon companies. You're not going to do many cartoons at home.
Right.
Most of that is either in a studio like this or we'll go over to Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon, that kind of stuff.
Right. So, but do you get a lot of, do you do ISDN sessions from people from their home studios?
Oh, sure. What's very interesting with that is virtually primarily the promo guys and trailer guys, they can be, two blocks away and they won't leave the house. Al Chalk is an old buddy. Al is the voice of that CBS daytime. He just has that wonderful, and you'll call him at one of the, hang on for a second, man, let me get my robe. Al, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
TMI, man, TMI.
But again, realize that most of that is based on quantity because when you're doing that kind of work, you're hauling butt. It's very, very fast. And that's one of the keys that people miss in a studio situation. The clock is ticking. So even when you come into a situation, yeah, own the room. Hey, man, how you doing? But don't go, do you need a headshot? Hang on, I have one in my car. Let me get my demo, because everything comes to a screeching halt. And usually when you leave, that goes directly in the trash can. So that's not really the forum to you know, get that to, like, a casting director. What we always suggest is, a great little tidbit, in fact, is after the session, sit out front and write them a nice little thank you note and throw your CD in there. And basically what happens, they come out after the session. Oh, here, this is for you. Opens it up. It reinforces your name. Oh, great. A nice little thank you note. You get in the car, and guess what? You got them all to yourself.
Absolutely. So you're working with a lot of celebrities, and you are a big studio in Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question comes up, the same thing as McDonald's. It's location, 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 or is it? Do you – I mean, because you're working with people live, they've got to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Does somebody who really wants to succeed at voiceover really have to be in that little 10-square-mile area along 405 and 210?
Well, for video games and animation, yes. It really, because a lot of that is very, very here on the spot. They loved you. You got a call back at Nickelodeon. You've got something at, you know, Cartoon Network. It's funny. We do an immense amount of work for Jimmy Kimmel, and that stuff is immediate. They want to turn around literally in 30 minutes or less. I mean, it's that fast.
Right.
So that kind of work, yes. Promos, commercial stuff, you know, a lot of narration stuff, especially, you know, smaller, like medical narrations, all that kind of stuff. No, you don't have to be here at all. It's very, and there's quite a few, you know, it's like Tom Kane. Tom lives in Kansas City, you know, and yet he's a very prolific VO talent and makes a bundle doing that. But he's established himself first and then moved. What I always suggest to do is, even with a home studio, get in bed with whatever the local studio is, regardless of what they are, you know, and I don't mean that necessarily in a actually physical way, although who knows, it might be lead to a callback. The reason is that if a studio is casting, we do that here. In fact, even when we run our class, a lot of the time we will see how people operate. And so we know, oh, you know who'd be great for this is so-and-so, and we've actually worked with them a little bit, so we know what their capability is. We've made the mistake a couple of times of booking somebody who we didn't know, and they came in. In fact, there was a couple of actors that are well-known. It was, well, the way you wrote the character wouldn't say that. You know, and it's, you're sitting here going, oh, God, please. And, of course, the client's looking at you like, what have you done to me? So in that respect, I think it's a good idea just to get familiar with somebody who actually casts stuff and is in the voiceover business. Realize that a studio is not just a studio. Just because it's a music studio, that doesn't mean they're familiar with the voiceover business. It's two very, very separate things. Radio is very separate of voiceover. It's a whole different field. You're not doing auditions. You're doing air checks. I mean, it's a completely different kind of a field. And in order to do that, it makes sense for you basically to get in the know with somebody and get familiar, and they get they can put a face with your name. Oh, you know who was just in here last week? Susan, she would be great for this. And then obviously you'll start booking stuff.
It's name on top of mind, you know, tip mm-hmm. of the
yeah,
tongue.
Exactly.
I just saw you last week. Right. There's so much of that going on still.
Yeah. And that's the one interesting thing with the internet is that we've all become somewhat isolated. I always laugh and talk about home studios that they're not necessarily conducive to social or hygienic skills. You know, because how long have you been in there? 2 weeks. You know, what do you do? A 60-second spot. And we always say the upside is you can do 5,000 versions. The downside is you can do 5,000 versions and still not like what you did.
Exactly.
You know.
Should we jump to some questions from the room?
Yeah, there was a good question here from KC. We all know who she is. You were in this movie, In a World. What was that like? What's it about?
Actually, it's really fun. It's coming out. I know for a fact it's at all of the Arclight theaters. It opens this Friday,
oh, cool.
August 9th. It's actually, the scene we're in was very short. It was myself, Joe Cipriano, who's the voice of Fox, and Mark Elliott, who is the voice of Disney, that Disney's most endearing character, you know, wonderful guys. And it's kind of a very quick party scene. The fun thing is they basically shot the entire movie here. So you'll see the kitchen, the hallway, all of the studios, all the shots in the studio, in the booth. They were all done here, which is kind of fun. And I actually went out with Joe Cipriano and Mark Elliott. We went to USC for a film thing there with Lake, who wrote and directed. And it's a cute movie. It's actually very, very fun. If you're, you know, into the voiceover business, you'll get it even more. But honestly, even if you're not, you'll get a kick out of it. It's very, very, it's sweet, it's endearing, and it's very funny.
She Lake's really making the rounds. I saw her on, did I see her on Conan?
Yeah. She's been, making the rounds.
And that's awesome.
She's a really talented girl. And she, you know, I have immense respect for the fact of someone like that, who an independent film, and to go around and pitch, and the fact that she actually wrote and directed this and got it produced. She took it to Sundance, won a big award there, and Sony picked it up. And that's who's releasing it, wide release this coming Friday. So it's fun. Right. It was fun. And then I was just going to say, we also have a Ratchet and Clank movie. I play Mr. Zircon, this big stupid, or actually he's a very small stupid robot. And that's coming out 2015. We just started pre-production on that.
Oh, that's cool.
Outstanding. So if you were going to give some advice to our voluminous audience here, all voice actors, what's the number one tip you would give them?
I would buy custom knee pads.
Okay. Those who are not working in Hollywood. Wait, the rest of the world.
The FCC doesn't regulate this, do they?
Nope.
They're listening, but they don't regulate.
Right.
No, I would say, honestly, to be true with yourself, be honest with yourself. Realize that, you know, what your capabilities are, and approach that. Realize that every this business is very, very mentor-driven, and everybody goes, oh, God, this person, that. Realize that we all started down nowhere. I love getting together with Rob Paulson and Maurice LaMarche and Jess Harnell, Jeff Bennett, all of them, because we all started at the same time. In fact, Brian Cummings was just telling me, when did we become the old guys? You know? And it's fun to see everybody make that progression. But realize we all started at the same point, if you're just getting into it, that you are right now. But just understand that it is a business. I think the one single word that everybody has to fight is that wonderful trait called procrastination.
Oh, yeah.
And we all go, God, this is great. I'm going to send this out tomorrow. Oh, yeah, God, I got to be at work at 9, and you put it off and put it off. I've actually done demos for people, and it was like, I haven't actually sent it out yet. It was like, that was 6. It's not like somebody's going to call you and go, I was just curious, do you have a voiceover demo? You know, you need to get it out there for people to hear. You know, and it is a numbers game, too. Realize that. And don't the rejection thing, the running gag we always say is the job that you go in and the person goes, my God, that was just perfect. You nailed it. It's like, well, thank you very much, because I know I'll never be hearing from you again. You know, and that's just the nature of the beast, you know. So just shake it with a grain of salt.
Yes. Well, Mark, thanks so much for being with us tonight. Great information and a little insight into what goes on in these big studios, especially one as important as yours that's putting out all the stuff that we hear every day.
Hey,
so thanks for being with us.
Yeah, next time, yes. Dan, well, you're in town. We want to come see you guys. Yeah, well, next time Dan's in town, we'll come and see you guys. We'll come up to your studio and we'll take a little tour.
Absolutely. Do anytime. And my talkback works. I'm just telling you.
Mark Rowe, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much. Have a great night.
Alrighty. Well, I got a little bit more coming up here on East West Audio Body Shop, so stay right where you are, because we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dave Courvoisier. You know, these days, to get anything accomplished in your voiceover business, you've got to spend some time online. We audition online, we share with others in online communities, maybe you've even done some online training along the way. So here's the next big thing. It's called VoiceOver Virtual. It's this giant 2-day online voiceover conference that's coming to you this September. And because it's online, you can attend and participate from anywhere on your computer. Wait a minute, I know what you're saying. An online voiceover conference? How does that work? Well, it works pretty well, actually. There will be training with dozens of the industry's top professionals. You'll find an innovative and interactive exhibit hall with some exclusive bargains. You can have private online meetings with agents, and casting professionals, and trainers. Even get your demo evaluated. There will be plenty of chances to network with your colleagues, even make some new friends social media style. Pretty cool, right? Well, as your virtual MC, I'll be telling you more in the weeks to come about this amazing event produced by your friends at VoiceOver Extra with the help of some of the industry's top pros. Right now, why not just take a moment to check out this website and learn more? And if you want to get the lowest possible price on all this, check out the VO Virtual special offer at the registration button. See you in September online, okay?
Welcome back to EWABS. We were expecting you, but we still didn't bake a cake. Here's Dan and George.
We actually have lots of birthdays today. Anthony's birthday is today. Happy birthday to you. My son's 18th birthday was yesterday.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday.
It's your wife's birthday.
That's right.
Yeah, 18. You know, and he immediately went out and bought a lottery ticket.
Sounds cool. Has he been saving money all his life just for that first lottery ticket?
Maybe. You know, I'm sure if he just dug around his room, he'd find enough change lying in there and go, there's enough for a ticket. Anyway, one of our favorite sponsors, because right now he's our only sponsor, even though we have a big one coming in next week, is Harlan Hogan over at Voice Over Essentials. Why do we like to talk about Harlan? One, because he's buying time here, but two, because we wanted him on our show to talk about, you know, to be able to talk about the great stuff that he has, especially his signature series stuff like the headphones and the VO1A, which, you know, we had an interesting conversation when we were over at a microphone manufacturer last week and talked about the VO1A and that kind of stuff, the porta booths, those sorts of things. But he's got lots of other stuff. So if you really want to get the best stuff and have access to all the stuff, you go over to voiceoveressentials.com and you buy their stuff. What do they have? Any specials this week?
Bottom line is they have a lot of stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah, the VoiceOver Essentials.
You want stuff, you go over to VoiceOver Essentials.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking with the folks over at MXL who manufactured the VO1A, and they talked about what some of the modifications they made for it. And it's a great mic, and they're very proud of it. Harlan is exceedingly proud of it.
Of course, it's like his baby.
It is. It is. You know, it's like one of his first signature products after the porta booth.
Harlan Hogan's products are wonderful. Go find them over at voiceoveressentials.com. You will not be disappointed. Everything he's selling is specifically for VoiceOver. You're not going to be wasting your time there, because if he's selling it, you know it's a good product for the purposes of recording VoiceOver. So thank you, Harlan. VoiceOverEssentials.com. We really appreciate your support. And Dan, hopefully things are working and I can bring you back up here. But
go over to VoiceOver Essentials. I figured that's what we were still talking about. But anyway.
We got a couple of...
couple of announcements.
Yes, we do.
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
All you have to do to keep this show running and up and making it better and better, you know, and buying our own satellite like we talked about last week, you can donate if you just go to the upper right-hand corner. Right above George's head, there's a – right below the logo. It's triangulated. There's a donate button, and we really need the help. Also, somebody was asking if we have an interview with the guys at MXL. Guess what? We do.
Indeed. If you don't like watching all the glitches that happen during a live show, I painstakingly glue the show back together and we post it on YouTube after each episode. So please download the show or just watch the show on YouTube. We'll also be placing the shows on iTunes and in wherever your finer podcasts are purveyed. You can follow our show and listen in an audio format. Thanks to Lee Penny, who's been helping with that. And what else? We got Twitter, we got Facebook, we're on, you know, we're all over the place. We're on LinkedIn, we're everywhere. So
it was great to meet Lee, too.
Oh, it was. It was great. We got to meet Lee at the VO Peeps meetup. That was a lot of fun. He was really a lot of fun to have helping us out during the show live and in person. But anyway, we got a huge list of people here queued up to guest on the show. Kathy has been busy.
Busy. All right, we've got on August 12th, that's next week, we have Juan Carlos Bagnell, who is
AKA
some audio guy. Some audio guy.
Then we've got on August 19th, David Kay. David Kay, who is one of my clients, a lovely man, and he'll be on the show. It'll be exciting. We've got a studio literally in the progress of being built for David right now, so I'm excited to see where the studio actually is by the time he's on our show. Take it away, Dan.
Okay, what else we got? Oh, the Poker Classic coming up on August 24th. For the DLF Lab, we're going to be broadcasting that.
Well, not live, but there'll be some. We're going to shoot a package.
We'll be broadcasting it on Ustream. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll have a package to show later.
All right. And then on August 26th, we have a hangout. September 2nd is Labor Day, so all you socialists don't have to watch the show. But no one will because we'll be dark. We'll be dark that one night. We deserve a week off every now and again. And September 9th, Tara Platt and Yuri Lowenthal, who are actors, animators, and authors of Voiceover Behind the Mic. So we'll get lots of good tips from them. We are scheduled into September.
Holy
Where did the summer go?
I know. Man. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our first Monday night show. Obviously, Skype is being what it is, and it's going to be a constant battle to figure out how to move on beyond Skype. Because obviously we need a better solution than Skype. We need the Source Connect of video. So if anybody has any tips, we'd be happy to take your suggestions at ewabshop@gmail.com.
I could just move out to California.
Yeah,
it would make
that.
It a lot easier.
Yeah, you know, you could commute.
That's true.
Maybe our new sponsor will pay for you to fly in every week.
I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got lots of people to thank. Well, like, of course, our wives, who are now very happy that we're doing this on Monday night.
And keeping it shorter.
Our sponsors, Harlan and VoiceOver Extra. What's that?
Oh, and that they're happy that we're keeping it shorter, too.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, who else? Well, Kathy Curran. Look at a great job she's done of getting us some great guests. And Anthony Getting for helping us out in the chat room. Jason Lawson and Lee Penny for all their production assistance. But we already thank them, but we'll thank them again because we really appreciate it. And I've got a new CAD 100E here.
Oh, sweet.
How does
it
sound?
E100S. Yeah, that's a fantastic microphone. It really sounds killer.
Yes. It's now the official EWABS mic. It's wearing a wig.
Sweet.
Anyway, yeah, absolutely. All right, so we ran a little over an hour, but, you know, we'll work on that, but minus a few technical difficulties. But, hey, it's EWABS. Anyway, we will see you next week with some audio guy and lots more great stuff. We got more interviews coming up and stuff. You're going to love the way we've got this show planned out over the next 6 months or so. Anyway, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together, we are still East-West Audio Body Shop. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Monday night. Have a good one.
Good night, everybody.